need a bigger gavel.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. I'm calling up. I'm David King. I'm the chair of the planning commission. I'd like to welcome you all here. A lot of new faces. That's exciting. We have Mike Harmer and Mike Paraskevich. Mike's the vice chair of the planning commission, and Marty Sykes should be here shortly. So I would like, in terms of handout logistics, there's handout, but there's not enough for everyone, but there should be enough for one set for every table, and if the table, so you're going to have to share.
Does anybody need one? We got some over here.
And we have a sign-up sheet that is being passed around.
Everybody's supposed to sign that.
And if you can sign that, that would be good. That's our record that you were here. If you wish to put an email address on, then we will add you to an email list. So there are handouts to share. Please sign the sign-in sheet. Put in email address if you'd like to get follow-up emails about what we're doing. And to start the meeting, I would invite you all to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
and so the first agenda item. I apologize. We're still working on the austerity program, but maybe with the town's budget being flushed, the next meeting we will have more copies of the paper. The papers I handed out, some of that information is posted on the website, and I will make sure that in the next couple of days the rest of it goes up on the website. It will be listed on the town calendar. So if you go to the town's website and go to the calendar and then go to the Planning Commission events, both for today and our next meeting, which is the second Saturday of July, I will have this information posted there. So there will be links to this information. So the first item has to do with zoning requirements for the neighborhood residential district. This is that part of Dewey Beach north of the center line of Clayton Street. It's essentially residential, single family, and there's been a lot of talk that there's going to be a lot of development up there now that Rehoboth by the Sea is selling leaseholds and extending leases, and people are investing in their properties once again up there. And there's some concern that the character of the neighborhood is changing, and there is some concern that that's a bad thing. And so one of the issues that we have been asked to look at is the zoning code as currently written adequate to protect the existing character of that district? And if not, what changes should we make? And I assume that that's why you're all here and excited to see so many new faces. Tim Arnold and Bill Colburn are two citizen volunteers who have volunteered to help work with us to define the character. And Bill, I think, has some comments that he would like to make to start off.
Sure.
Do you want to come up
here? Sure. For those of you who don't know either one of us, I'm Bill Colburn. Tim Arnold couldn't make it, so. Just very briefly, all Tim and I have really had a chance to do is to walk and drive around the north end of town and actually extend our look beyond just the north end of town. Tim lives in the north end and has some very definite ideas and thoughts about what could be done there. he has articulated them in an email to David. I guess I would ask David to post it on the website so people can take a look at it. We will follow that articulation up with some sketches and some other ideas as they develop. So that's kind of where we are. I got involved in this primarily because I have a large amount of experience in floodplain management issues, and with the new flood maps that are coming along and sea level rise issues and other things, I think we're going to extend our look just beyond the north end to, you know, other zoning issues that might be impacted by floodplain management stuff. So that's kind of where we are.
Okay.
So we've done nothing more than take a walk around and try to put some ideas to paper.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch. Are you a professional working in the city or homeowner?
No, I'm a homeowner.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I got volunteered.
Well, I have a question. When you're talking about the north end of town, everything is NR, or is there something different between north end of town and NR?
I don't know.
I think, in terms of zoning districts, it's the neighborhood residential zoning district.
Okay.
And in terms of this discussion, I think a lot of people are referred to the NR neighborhood residential in North End.
So the zoning line for NR starts, that's the north end of
that's the north end of that.
And the flood issues, I'm just touching base so I understand, I appreciate your time. What are the way I looked at the FEMA maps, most of the NR district is not in a flood zone or projected to be on one. Are you going to address that, or why are we talking about that?
Well, I think that my charge anyway, and one of the reasons why I was asked to get involved is, while there might not be flood issues in that part of town, there are flood issues in other parts of town. Okay. And with sea level rise issues coming, you know, and being part of the discussion and new maps, this might be, if we're going to look at zoning issues, this might be an appropriate time to look at a wide range of zoning issues. So, that's...
Okay. The interest in this exercise is not so much flood-related issues as...
Development
that whole area, and whether or not the development.
Okay,
now, right now, you can build a 35-foot tall, 12-bedroom house with 5,000 square feet on the standard lot, or 7,500 square feet if you get a lot and a half. And some people don't think that's appropriate.
Some of the lots have 5,000 square feet themselves.
I'm sorry?
The lots are about 5,000 square feet.
Most of the lots are 5,000 square feet. And so you can build a 5,000 square foot house. Currently, what I'd like to do is just read some of the information put together by Tim and Bill about the neighborhood residential district. And then I'd like to hear input from you. We've gotten a few emails that said we want you to keep the north end, the neighborhood residential district, exactly like it is. Well, what is it? We can't write zoning code to keep it like it is if we don't know what it is. So part of this is to figure out how to write zoning code if the public wants to keep it how it is, to keep it how it is.
They're keeping the zoning code how it is, but not keep the area how it is. Because the current zoning code would allow 5,000 square foot houses, and that's not the current character. So I think the people that were applauding for how it is, you don't want to apply for the current zoning code because that would allow much more intense development than the current character.
I think that's Tim's point. That's fine, that David's going to lead to. I guess the only other thing I would say is that both Tim and I feel like there's a lot of input in town that needs to be gathered. And so once some of this gets posted on the web, and hopefully there'll be a place to chat or talk about it, then talk about it. Tell us, you know, what your thoughts are about that. That'll be the easiest way for us to collect information.
Because if we only get one piece of input, or if the only input we get says, you got to let us build bigger houses and taller houses, and if that's all the input we get, then, you know, that may be where the code goes.
One of the problems with building bigger houses is that you tear down trees. And one of the beauties of that area is the trees and the small proportion of the houses to the lots. Yeah. And I think that that's very important that we maintain that. These mansions just won't fit in there.
And that's part of Tim's point in his email today.
So one of the things that Tim says is most of the lots are 50 by 100, 5,000 square feet. There are some lots that are larger. There's some lots that are 10,000 square feet. So again, in the current zoning code, you can build a 35-foot tall, 10,000 square foot house on that.
Another part of the character is that it's mostly summer houses, as I understand it.
Well, so one of the things that Tim and Bill's early analysis is, you know, they said there are three major defining characteristics: a pine tree canopy coverage. You know, and they said if you go to Google Maps or any satellite imagery and look down, it's hard to see the houses or the trees, which is a good thing, I think. The architecture is dominated by what Tim calls mid-century beach cottage architecture. So during the flood of 62, apparently a lot of the housing that was there was damaged, and so there was a lot of redevelopment in the early 60s, and a lot of it was done by this firm, DFD Developments, who offered a number of one and a half story houses that have a footprint of like 30 by 20 or 30 by 40, you know, which is 800 to 1200 square feet. The floor area, the habitable floor area of much of the residential stock up there is, you know, 800 to 1,500 square feet, you know, small against a 5,000 square foot standard.
I think most of the damage from that hurricane was in the area along the beach, that area that's right down at the foot of Chesapeake and all the other streets. They had to do a lot of rebuilding in those places, but I don't think up in the main part of our road by the beach area there was very much damage.
Our house was built 58, for example.
Okay, yeah. But if you walk up some of the southernmost streets, you'll see a lot of these houses that were built by this company, and he calls them, what are the names of the beach house, the crow's nest, the year-rounder, the gull wing, the atrium.
Are they the modern houses?
They're the one-story with a kind of the pitched roof.
Okay. That's the original development, David.
Pardon?
That's the original development.
Okay, so that was all, a lot of that was built in 62 to 64. In the early 60s, they probably put in 50 or 60 houses of those designs. And so I'm wrong that they were destroyed in 62. They just hadn't been developed.
Thanks, sir. We live on the beach block at Chesapeake Street. We've been there 45 years now, 44 years. And what I would like to do is go back to my threshold issue, and that's my neighbors, which is the question, is there any bias whatsoever in the town now on the commissions or...
Could you speak up a little bit?
Yeah.
Can you stand up and project, please? And give us your name.
My name is Ian Berman, and I don't speak very loudly, but I'm trying. And what I'm asking is there a bias at all right now, or leading up to this first meeting, to in any way increase the density of, of the town with respect to these various properties coming off of these ground leases. That is the single most important thing to us, and I suspect to many of the people who are here and live in town. And the same question applies with regard to the type of product. As you know, on our block at Chesapeake Street, we have detached houses, and then we have C-Strand. So C-Strand is a multiplex project, and I guess we would be fine just to leave everything the way it is, as someone said just a few moments ago. But in any event, the questions are, is it so that we're not going to be increasing density, there's not going to be a fight about that? And is it so that there's not going to be a situation where a C-Strand type project might be placed on Chesapeake Street elsewhere, but maintain the same density? Because those are the things we care about.
Well, I think categorically we can say that there is no bias.
No.
We are here reaching out to the community to listen to what's important to the community. The code currently limits development to in the neighborhood residential district to single-family homes. Now, there is the opportunity if somebody in the neighborhood residential district acquires control of 100,000 square feet of contiguous land, that they can petition to have this turned into what in the zoning code is called a planned residential development. And they could then build something like Seagate as a kind of a planned community, or C-Strand, under certain provisos. So this would be clustered housing that had open space.
So you're saying they would have that automatic right, or is it
they would have to amass 100,000 square feet, which is basically one entire block. And then they would have to come before the zoning commission and the town commissioners in public hearings and ask for that property to be rezoned. Now, part of this, you know, if that's something that people, the citizens of Dewey Beach, do not want to have as a possibility in the future, that's something important for you to tell us, because we might then amend the zoning code to remove that pathway.
I mean, again, may I just say, no, I'll stop. Again, that is precisely the reason that my wife and I are here. 45 years, virtually half a century, on the same block, with the same families, not to mention the north end, where you go further north, you're not even in Dewey Beach. And I remember a time when we were not in Dewey Beach. That's not what we're here to talk about.
Yes, sir.
And I think the real concern.
Give us your name and stand up and speak loud. Okay.
Jane Parker from Carolina. I think the real thing that's operating here is that the economics are going to drive all these lots into either double lots or McMansions. Since you hear what the city is selling some of these 50 by 105,000 square foot lots for upwards of $1 million. Well, they're teardowns at that point. Nobody's going to pay $1 million for the land and not want to have 5 or 8 bedrooms. So any decision that's made on the zoning, if it were to limit square footage, that sort of thing, would depress the values, and I think the Hoopers by the Sea would really fight that. So I think you've got to be aware of the economic drivers of this.
Yeah, I have a related corollary point here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Ben Tompkins owned property on 131 Chesapeake for 25 years, and I think there's some important takeaways that people need to leave this meeting. I mean, my sense of this group, and I've been part of these groups before, is that people like the character of their neighborhood. They want that character to remain if possible. And the answer is today's zoning ordinance, as it exists today,
will not protect the current stable residential character of this neighborhood. So it's not enough to say, I like things the way they are. If you want your neighborhoods to remain similar to what they are, then you know, there's a number of things that need to be done. The biggest is this concept that you can build this called a 10 FAR, that you can build a 5,000 square foot house on a 5,000 square foot lot. And the answer is that's probably the most important provision that needs to be changed. And if you think maybe a 3,000 square foot house is appropriate on a 5,000 square foot lot, then you want to take that 1.0 FAR down to a 0.6 FAR. And I think, you know, there's only so much that these guys really can legislate, and we all love to legislate architecture if we could and taste, but that's a very subjective thing and a very difficult thing to do. But there are certainly options out there. One is to deal with the FAR issues. I'm not going to get into sort of side yard setbacks, as you guys are more than capable of dealing with that. The other issues that need to be thought about, if you are concerned about architecture, and again, legislating architecture is a challenging thing, but you can do things with materials and you know, types of materials and those sorts of things. And so I would hope, you know, if that's the sense of the group, everybody just leaves this meeting to know that the status quo will not protect your neighborhoods. The current comprehensive plan, as I understand it, does talk about preserving the current residential character of the neighborhood. So that would make a zoning ordinance revision to reduce those max densities very appropriate to be consistent with the comprehensive plan. And so I think the action will need to be taken to preserve your neighborhoods the way you want them to be preserved. And it's fine. I'm not an anti-growth guy. In fact, I'm a pro-growth guy. I believe in development. But I also believe in intelligent land use planning. And great, you want to have the core of Dewey have places like this and the Hyatt Place. You know, it'd be nice to make those places a little nicer, not let them put HVAC units up on sidewalks, but you know, so be it. But when you get into your outlying neighborhoods, you know, again, you want to preserve it by these density restrictions, and the status quo does not do that. So I hate to say my piece and run, but I'm entertaining people, so I have to get out of here.
We have two questions for you.
After they come, I want to ask them.
You want to ask?
Just in general, is there anybody here who feels like what we've heard so far, not contradict, but they have another point of view about that? Can we hear some of that?
There are some of us who came in late because we did not and were not told where this meeting was being held. Before we go any further, could we have a recap of what occurred in the first 15 minutes?
Okay. a lot of talk. That's why I'm trying to kind of focus on what's going on. The gentleman gave a presentation about, a short presentation about what they're doing to establish what is the character of the neighborhood and exactly what might be done to maintain that character. Nothing specifically was said, just a general statement. Several people have talked about where they live and trees, preserving trees. There's been some discussion about possibly a subdivision, grouping a lot of lots together and then subdividing it into townhouses or whatever, but there's nothing on the table about that either. So right now a lot of people have been just giving their opinions. So if we can kind of, Dave, you don't mind, we can kind of just focus on, we've heard a lot of your suggestions and thoughts so far, but I'd like to hear some, if anybody's here who would like to talk about their feelings, not contrary, but a little different than what we heard so far. Yes, please.
I'm Fran Weintraub. I have a house on a beach block up St. Louis Street for 35 years. It's a teardown, actually. It's got water in the basement, but we've never been able to afford it. But my point is, Dewey stayed the same because of the leased land. That's why we didn't turn into Bethany and Ocean City, because it wasn't a value if you leased the land to build a McMansion. So that kept the character. All the time that I've come since I was a kid to Rehoboth, that kept Dewey kind of like that. So you have to thank that leased land for a little bit, because it did save us at some point. We own our own land for that very reason. We didn't want to be subject to this, you know, turnover thing. And we knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming. We all been talking about it for years, about what's going and this and that, and what are they doing, and what's going to happen. And my concern is that now you want to double restrict, you want to change the zoning on the people who've lived there and make it more restrictive than any other part of Dewey. What about the people who own their own land?
I personally have not come out and made that statement. I'm going to change the zoning. I really want to hear what everybody has to say.
Well, I think you have to think about, if you're going to be more restrictive on a small group of people, how disproportionately democratic that is at a certain point. So changing the zoning to make it more reasonable and considering the changing of the marketplace, that's important. But to just downright try to have a historic area in Dewey, I think is not where we should go at this point.
What's your name, please?
Fran Weintraub.
Thank you.
And yes. Most people who've lived here for years would never, I wouldn't anyway, build something that wouldn't reflect all of what you all are talking about. And I think the zoning that's there already, I feel that way about that zoning. Everybody in our block had to live by that zoning. We had $2 or $3 million homes built in the last 5 years that are, sold for $7 million, get rent for whatever, and they stayed within the zoning. And this, we had the oldest houses in Dewey on our block. We had the Wilson house and the other house that was, both of their homes that were oceanfront were moved back. So we have a historic street ourselves. And even the houses on my block are historic. And everyone there has honored that. So you're not going to see a gigantic McMansion on our two lots. I feel overrun by the idea of people now trying to make Dewey a historic neighborhood.
Well, I don't think it's. I don't think there's any effort to make it historic in the true sense of historic districts. But I just
want to offer. My name is Paul Palmieri. I'm at 20 Jersey Street.
I'm sorry, Paul.
Paul Palmieri. I'm at 20 Jersey Street. It's the house that's being built on the beach block. We bought the house and tore it down last year. We paid about $1.5 million for the house, spending about $1.3 million on the house that we're building. 7,500 square foot lot. We looked in Indian Beach. We looked in Henlopen Acres. We wanted a place where we could have Thanksgiving, et cetera, et cetera. But we had been coming to Jersey Street renting for 16 years, and that's really where we wanted to be. And so when we looked at, you know, what we could do there, it was the 7,500 square, and we're building a house that's 4,900. So it's a FAR of about 0.65, using a lot of natural materials, et cetera. And I just want to say that although there is an economic situation here where if somebody pays a lot for a lot, and you want to put something nice on that lot, some of these rules could depress the value. So I totally agree with that comment. But as somebody who's done it and almost done and on the back end of that process, had the FAR been 0.6, had the FAR been 0.65, it wouldn't have deterred us from buying that lot, even if it were a 50 by 100, because we did like the character of the neighborhood. I think as a potential land buyer, I would say we would have wanted there to be more restrictions and just rules about how to keep the place in the current character that it has.
Hi, I'm Emily Boltz, and we have a house on Chesapeake Street, and we own both the land and the house, unfortunately. But I did look up at the tax rolls and found that Rehoboth by the Sea owns 40 lots. I do not know if they are contiguous. There is a map to figure that out, but I haven't got that for you.
Well, yeah,
so they own the house and the land on 40 lots. So they're renting them. So I don't know if it's contiguous and have 100 whatever square feet or not. But
some is.
Okay. Well, that may have some impact. And as for her comment about the rent lease, the land lease, keeping the character, to a certain degree, that's correct. But if that one person owns the whole thing, that also means that he can build something big on the whole thing he owns. So that's my concern.
No bigger than the zoning
in place. For the people of you who have not noticed
Bob.
It, Bob Duncan, on 201 Cullen. There is a house presently being built on the corner of Bayard and Cullen, right?
Mm-hmm.
That house represents the max of what can presently be built under the existing zoning. So when you look at that house, that tells you what every single one of the 50 by 100 feet lots can have on it.
That's not a 5,000-square-foot house, though.
Pardon me?
It's not a 5,000-square-foot house, not the one I'm thinking of.
Is that the one by Pfeiffer's Market?
Yes.
That's not a 5,000-square-foot house.
Yes. No, but I mean, the point of it is a lot of people, if you look at the current character of Dewey,
yeah,
we're talking about what the present zoning permits.
Right.
What the present zoning permits is that house.
No, it actually, I believe that Emily is correct that that's smaller than
it
could have
that's
built.
Not too big of a house, but it is smaller than what it permits.
It could be even bigger than it is?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
Len.
Len Reed, I live on Conlon Street. We own three properties, to be simple. I'm against having many regulations on what we have. I agree with the 100,000 square foot and doing the organized community, maybe having better control of that. The house on the corner behind Pfeiffer's is limited because it's on a corner lot. It has more of a setback. It has a more of a side setback along with the front setback that limits the size of the house. So it would be hard for them to get a 5,000 square foot house. We built a house on the corner of Cullen Street that is the same thing. The house could only be 27 feet wide. But as far as I'm concerned, our house looks nice and they built more like them around the area. More power to them.
Jay Parker again. I think that what we have to do is couple a FAR that's a little more reasonable, not to jeopardize the people who've already bought their house. I think a 0.5 FAR on either single lots or double lots would be pretty good in the ballpark. And let them build an ample house that would justify the high cost of the land. We are at a resort, though. Rather true. The second thing we need to do is have, a coverage, impervious coverage maximum. And right now we're right about 25% coverage in the existing community. So maybe you go up to a 33% coverage of the lot. This would make we need land for trees and preservation of trees and new planting areas.
So right now, the current code basically allows you to, given the setbacks and things, allows you to build on about 40% of your lot. Yes?
The problem is, I'm Steve Hayes, I live on Chesapeake Street. One problem is that the code is not being enforced, and people are leveling their front yards and making parking lots and tearing down all the trees, and the city is not enforcing the code. So you can imagine what's going to happen when they start building large houses. So the big problem with vegetation and landscaping is not necessarily the code, but the lack of enforcement.
I mean, you are right that, we do have a tree ordinance in town, but the tree ordinance permits people, at least as it's currently written, to take down trees that are in the way of construction.
But if doing that takes away from the landscaping requirement, they're supposed to replant, and they're not being made to do that.
Well, I mean, we could certainly take a look at Rehoboth's, which requires you to develop to design your house around the existing treescape rather than to design the treescape around what you want to. Okay, let me throw out a couple of questions. The current code allows, in terms of height, 35 feet, I mean, how that's measured, I don't think we need to get into necessarily. But 35 feet, 2.5 stories. And if the way I think about a half story and the way that it's supposed to be defined in the code, it turns out that it didn't get put in the code, is the half story has sidewalls that are no more than 3 feet high, and then the roof sits on that. And so, you know, many of these houses have attics and finished space up under the roof, with perhaps some gables. And so you can't occupy, you can't habitate all of the top floor. You can have some of that as a storage space, depending on the pitch of your roof. And you can put in dormers, which give you, you know, more habitable space. Is that a good way to go, or with something smaller, like you know, saying 25 feet, which is sufficient for building two floors with a pitched roof with storage in the attic? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Doheny, and I live on Jersey Street, 103 Jersey. We have a house right next to us. We have one of the original floor plans, Breezeway. We love this house, love this house. We fell in love with it even more as we thought we were going to. We have our next door neighbors who are retired. They tore down their cottage and they built a retirement home for them. I believe it is 2.5 stories. And quite honestly, I don't feel that that imposes or threatens the nature of the neighborhood. We're right next door to them, and I don't, it just really has never been an issue of feeling dwarfed by them or shadowed, or that it in any way diminished our enjoyment or the value of what we have right next to them, or the people on the other side of them, who also has the original, although raised, they did raise theirs. I'm not sure if there are regulations that aren't being enforced. I don't see the point of over-regulating in order to make up for the fact that things that are already in place are not being enforced. I don't understand that train of thought. And if you have, you know, a nice way to explain that, I would really appreciate it. But I don't see the point in it if we're not enforcing it. Why not enforce what we have?
Well, I think that
and have that protect us.
Yeah, I mean, we have the town manager here, and I think he will tell you that enforcement, you know, they're trying to take care of the enforcement issues, and that this is education and is an ongoing process. But I'm interested.
Regulating isn't the answer to that. I think that's what you're saying.
I'm just interested in the house you're referring to.
It's 105 Jersey.
I'd just be interested in driving by and taking a look at what's a 2.5 story that's not imposing.
Can I see how many people here actually have their houses on leased land that they're paying lease for? And how many actually own their land?
That's about half and half.
Okay, on you people who have your leased land, do you feel like from an investment point of view, you don't want to put a whole lot of money into it for a long-term investment? You're kind of keeping up with what you have to maintain it?
Yes. Absolutely.
Long-term is about 10 years.
Okay. So, and of course, the people who own the property, you can look at it from an investment point of view and put whatever money that you can. Okay.
So the follow-up question for the leaseholders is, do you think that the value of the land is higher with the ability to build a larger structure, or is the value of the land higher with a more restrictive zoning code?
You better close the question again. Take a vote on each.
David, just lay back in the back of the patient.
Well, no. So, how many think that the land is worth more with wide open zoning, say 5,000 square feet?
Sure.
Just the people with the lease option.
If they have
And so the people with the leaseholds, how many feel that we should provide for 5,000 square foot homes?
What's the
weight?
Per
how many think that 4,000 is the right size?
No.
You want to go bigger or smaller?
No. Hi, Carol Seibel. I live at 119 Jersey Street. And we purchased our house in 2007 from a friend who's a realtor down here. We looked all over. We were in Dewey. We were in Rehoboth. It wasn't, we bought it because that's what we wanted to buy and paid for and not have a mortgage. We bought it because my husband's a surfer and he paddles and he wanted to go walk down the street and go in the water. And he was adamant. He didn't care about the 10-year land lease and blah, blah, blah. That's what he wanted. I didn't like the land lease. We knew what we were getting into, but that's what he wanted. And we loved the neighborhood. We love our neighbors. We like the integrity of the neighborhood. Honestly, I don't like the big houses being built down on Jersey Street. I mean, it's beautiful, but I think on Silver Lake it would be perfect. To me, I would be livid if that was being built next door to me. I love my original. We have what you have, the Dewey Beach Cottage. And when we buy our land, and we intend to, we are not going to tear it down and put up anything else. That's what we want. We want to be able to just have our little beach house and come down and live for the summer. But talking about height, I don't think you should lower the height restrictions. If it's at 35 feet, keep it at 35 because people aren't going to want to build something and be locked into something lower and not be able to see around or in front of, you know, their neighbor to the beach. But keep it in the footprint of what's there. Make it simple. Whatever your footprint is, that's what you got.
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Paul Renault. I'm with C-Strand on Chesapeake Street. I think increasing the FAR would really give Rehoboth by the Sea a lot of leverage in renegotiating or selling those lots, the leases or selling the lots. And, it would make it harder for us to negotiate with them.
Right. Increasing
the FAR, because then they say, well, we'll tear your place down, we'll build a...
Nobody's asking.
Can I put the house size into perspective? 5,000 square foot house. A 5,000 square foot house on a 5,000 square foot lot following the ordinance, if you made it just a regular... straight up and down, two and a half story house with a roof, that's 2,000 square feet on the first floor, 2,000 square feet on the second floor, and 1,000 square feet in the attic. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. If that's the case, that first floor of the house is two times the size of many of the houses just in the first floor alone. That would be enormous compared to... There are many of two-story or two-and-a-half-story houses being built that are perfectly reasonable in this neighborhood. But a 5,000 square foot one would be overwhelming. It would be like some of the real mansions down the beach. Those are like 5,000 square foot.
Okay, thank you. That's a good analogy. So I want to go back to
the question that you were asking.
I want to go back to the question that I was asking. And so everybody put, well.
I'm trying to clarify. Was the question that you were asking, do we have two different groups of in this neighborhood that have one our own land and one our leased land, and are each of these groups' opinions driven by what the ultimate value of that land would be? Were the folks who leased the land to keep the value of it down so that when they want to buy it, they can buy it for cheaper, and the folks who, you know, own the land, you know, sort of the other way? I thought that's what you were getting at. I wasn't sure.
I was getting at, there's currently a price tag put on the lots by Rehoboth by the Sea, and I assume it's $1 million for an ocean block and $500,000 or something for the next block out. So the people who have leaseholds are ready to step up and pay, you know, if that's market value, are ready to step up and pay a market value for the lot. And would they make that investment if you could build a 10,000 square foot house? I certainly would not.
Yeah.
If I were, you know, I'd say that's where it's going, I'm out of here, you know, goodbye. So the question to the people with the leaseholds, you know, should the FAR be, should the zoning code let you build a house that's 5,000 square feet or larger? No. How many think that should happen?
I think it should not let us.
So how many think that the maximum should be 4,000 square feet?
What is the house on the one on the corner of Byard and Cullen? How many is that?
Mark, do you know? I'd assume it's 4,000 square feet.
Okay, well,
you're,
that's
the you're right, but that's probably
2,500. That's should be.
You think that's 2,500?
That's a big house.
Oh, are we talking about 150? Are we talking about building a 150 by 100 lot, or possibly putting two together?
One lot.
So then you can't put more than 5,000 square foot of house on there anyhow.
Actually, currently. But for the workshop, we're asking questions. But I'm asking, I mean, I sense that everybody here, almost everybody here, would like to see the FAR be such that they couldn't build a 5,000 square foot house.
Yes.
And so then the next question is, should we reduce that to 4,000?
No. 3,000? Should we add it in square footage or percentage of coverage of the lot?
Exactly.
Well, that's a good point.
But why not use the average size of the footprint of the house? And go by that as the ground floor, and then if you're going to have 2.5 stories up, that's what it is. But if you, our year-round house is in the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland, and we have a lot of restrictions because we're a critical area, so you have to, if anybody buys a tear down and rebuilds, they have to stay within the existing footprint of what was there, and they can go up 35 feet. But it kind of keeps the integrity of what's
that's
there.
That's if you're within 110-foot line.
Correct.
If you're outside that 110-foot line, you can build more.
That's correct. But what I'm saying is, if you keep the footprint of what is there currently within the area of North Dewey, and someone buys it and they want to tear it down, they want to buy one of the shore house cottages and tear it down. If they're staying within that footprint and they want to go up 2.5 stories, I mean, I don't know what the square footage is of our Dewey Beach cottage with the with the screen and porch. I don't know what that is.
I don't think you could get away with that because 20 by 30 is a long house.
The information that I mean, we can certainly do some research in that, but...
I have a question for Bill. Have you researched any way to help preserve whatever the character is besides just houses, like streets, sidewalks, landscaping? I mean, sometimes you can look at your arterial streets and what's going on in parking and sidewalks and landscaping and so forth and really enhance or keep the character besides the architectural standards.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say at this point, I wouldn't call this a study yet because we haven't done enough to call it a study. But those are the kinds of things that I think we would certainly include in looking at. At the moment, David's sort of read you what Tim has thought about, and he's got some good ideas about some modifications potentially in the FAR, mostly for side yard setbacks and what to do to preserve trees and other landscaping. And some of those ideas, in my opinion, are pretty good. So, we haven't gone beyond.
There are things that we want to start thinking about that. You could put into a building code, for example, like if you are tearing down trees or you're building a 5,000 square foot house, you have to plant so many trees along the front of the house or something that would enhance it, continue sidewalks, besides just focusing on the house. A neighborhood is more than just a house.
Well,
it's your streets, it's your landscaping, it's your sidewalks, it's trees, whatever you do.
The example has been used at Cullen and Bayard Streets, that's got the relatively good sized house on it. I mean, I've only seen the house once or twice, and it was a quick trip with Tim, but it seemed to me like they did a good job of trying to preserve trees and build the house within some sort of footprint that was manageable.
Sometimes you can't preserve a tree because you can't build your house.
Well,
but you can contribute to the character of the neighborhood someplace else or alongside of you.
But doesn't setbacks do that? I mean, let's look at impervious surface and setbacks. There's no one's defined in front of that. So we have this future owner have a 4,000 square foot or 4,200 square foot. I think we all kind of understood that isn't really entirely our business to define it between 2,700 and 2,800. But a setback or a side that is trees, impervious surface, is how traditional zoning, in addition to the bar, is done. That's how you keep light, that's how you keep trees, and the ability to also have some level of privacy, even here to do this.
Nothing in all the frontage is driving.
The side setback is what I'm primarily speaking.
Can we have your name?
My name is Jeffrey Smith, and I live at Sea Spring. And I have a 46-year lease. So I'm one of those hybrid leases. So they're not all 10 years.
So would you, I mean, currently the side yard setback is 8 feet.
Yes.
It can't be smaller, we've been told, because of fire regulations.
Right.
It would make some people, when we went through the zoning code in 2009, many of us thought that it would make sense to allow you to shift your house off center in the lot so that you would have one setback that might be 10 feet and another setback that would be 6 feet, just so you could park cars along the side of the house if that's what you wanted to do. I mean, you were told that's not feasible. What do you think is, do you think 8 feet is a good setback for side yards? Or do you think
it's... No, I'll tell you, the places I've lived, I was in Virginia, for example, it's 15 feet. And that's a high density area. If you want to build a single family home, it's 15 feet. They obviously, Dewey Beach has its own size lots. 8 feet would just give for a driveway, so you wouldn't have any trees. So that would allow somebody to put a driveway on one side, porch on the other, and you would have to take out all the trees under that scheme. Whether they built a 3,200 foot or 3,400 square foot wouldn't matter. So 16 feet may be objectionable, or may not be right, 15 feet may not be right here, but somewhere a larger amount would preserve the trees, would preserve green space, impervious surface. And Dewey Beach, the North Dewey Beach, which also was mentioned, does not have storm drains. Or most of the streets don't, based on last year's rain. So if you take out a whole lot more impervious surface, there's going to be other significant problems, which actually there were last year.
So what about the front and rear yard setbacks? Currently the front yard setback is 18 feet and the rear yard is 12.
Well, 12 sounds like the 8, so that it seems, again, it's kind of like dictating exactly, it's a little less onerous than dictating exactly the square foot of a home, but setbacks being standard with other similar communities. Now, I guess the question to you is what is Rehoboth's and what is Lewis's setbacks?
The city of Washington is 29.
Let me just inject a little bit of my knowledge. I work in a lot of different communities and they all have different zoning for different areas. And it really depends on what kind of the development you want to maintain there. But in this particular case, if you're looking at a 50-foot lot and you have 2 8-foot side yards, an aggregate of 16 feet, that allows you only to build a 34-foot wide house.
Right.
Okay, so if you increase the side yard, I'm not saying we're not, but if you increase it, you're going to be narrowing your house down to a point where, basically you're going to be building townhouse-type houses. You've got to think about that.
The townhouses are 16 feet, so you'd still be...
Well, you can build a townhouse from 18 feet to 30 feet wide if you want, but the point I'm making is you have an aggregate of side yard. In this case, it's 8 and 8. So you have the total 16 feet, which reduces the width of your house to 34 feet.
Which is pretty wide.
If you're looking at a standard house on a lot, that's usually 40-some feet by whatever deep they go. So, but also, as far as your opinion about the side yard being allowed for a driveway, that is not practical because a car needs more than 8 feet to pull alongside of the house and open their doors. You wouldn't be able to open your doors if you put a driveway alongside your house. It'd be impossible. You'd be encroaching on your neighbor's property and hitting your house. So, and so I don't think it's realistic to say that 8 foot
allows you to park your car alongside your house.
So it should be larger than your
setback. Well, I'm saying it forbids that already. You're not going to be parking your car.
Well, actually you would, because you have an 18-foot setback, so you can drive 18 feet into your property.
No, the 18 feet is how far the house has to be back from the front.
That's right. But I'm saying your house has to start 18 feet, and people park as they often do in front of their house.
Right.
So the 8 feet, that's exactly what I meant. They don't have to pull in the side of their house and hit the siding. They can, but the question is whether 34 feet is reasonable. It seems that, because of the green space, seems less onerous than defining whether somebody should have 3,200 square feet. Because remember, they can build basements. I'm surprised, but right next to Silver Lake, they're building big basements, new homes. I have no idea how they're doing it. Old construction in Echelon, right next on, what's the name of this street? Queen Street. Queen Street and Silver, Silver Lake Drive, they went 20 feet down and somehow didn't hit water. So, again, are we prohibiting basements? Those basements are big. So the square footage won't solve what I believe would be
So Jeffrey, I'd like to ask you about backyard setbacks. I mean, we got an email suggesting that maybe we should increase the rear yard setbacks to create more of a family gathering space in the rear.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And to separate the houses more from each other.
People are putting in pools, swimming pools. That's what they're doing there. That's what we have next door.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's very unpleasant because it's very close together.
Jeffrey's thinking about that. So
it's already in the zone.
The question of pools, right? I mean,
I'm saying the zoning is not being enforced, or it is. I don't know.
Okay.
Is any zoning enforced anywhere consistently? I have no place that I've ever lived. And the issue is, on the back, to answer your question, I think the 12 to 15 feet is a standard amount given for exactly the opening of car doors so that someone 10 foot in the driveway. It's not unusual at all having a narrower house at the beach. I think most of them are now. They're not as narrow as some that are only 16. But if you look at the setback issue, it deals better than the FAR issue, which can be coupled with the FAR issue. I'm not suggesting the FAR issue is enough.
Okay, so is there any more input that we haven't heard already?
Do people have to build on pylons now because of the flooding, so that would affect the 35 feet?
Only if you're in a flood zone.
And most in a flood zone.
I have a question related to the setback. It was my understanding that there was a relatively new ordinance that said you could only have a driveway that's 20 feet wide. That would allow the rest of that 30 feet left over to be landscaped. It's either not being enforced or everybody's grandfather.
That's not being enforced.
That is a problem the town manager is.
Well, that's the major open space in the lot.
Sir, did you have a question back there?
No, I can't hear.
You can't hear.
Okay. Is there anything else, Mike or Mark, do you have?
The city of Newark has a 10-foot setback, and it seems to work pretty well, because you have 10 for your house, side yard. 10-foot side yard, so you got 10-foot for your house, and then 10-foot for your neighbors, that's 20 feet. So it gives you pretty wide spread out.
It varies from area.
Yeah, it does, and it varies.
It varies from zoning to zoning in the city.
Yeah, it does. Typical residential.
25 feet is a setback for being a house. In the city of Washington, D.C., 25 feet is a normal backyard setback for the house.
You can do 6 feet
on 5,000 square foot.
That's why I'm wondering this is only 40% of the coverage makes more sense as opposed to, because we've got lots, they're already there.
Right.
We're not designing lots anymore. So
Okay, so one final comment, question.
land lease on Chesapeake and Carolina, one that we live in and two that we rent. And we're another category of land lease owners because we elected to take the 60-year extended lease on all of those and then have land lease on Salisbury and Sweet Street that are the shorter leases. So I think there's two perspectives you have to look at. You've got the category of land lease owners that are greater in the 10-year to 12-year time ticking down who may or may not be stakeholders in 10 or 12 years. And I think that's a consideration of asking opinions of people who I'm one of who may or may not be stakeholders in 10 to 12 years. And then there are the property owners who are the longer-term land lease who will be stakeholders for 60 years and those who have fee simple property. So I don't think you can just sit in a meeting room and take a poll of who wants what when many of the people in the room may choose not to be stakeholders and are going to be driving legislation. But I think the other thing is that I think you have to think about, and are you Mike?
I am.
Thank you. I recognize your comments. I think Mike's comments are very important to think about when you look at square footage and how you keep character of a neighborhood. Character of a neighborhood is not driven by square footage of a house. And that can be evidenced by any neighborhood, any of the communities you drive in on the outskirts of Rehoboth, where they have 22, 1900, 1800 square foot homes, and it looks like a military complex. You couldn't pay to give me a house in those neighborhoods. You know, they're small houses on large lots and one tree in front of every house. And conversely, character is developed by being more thoughtful about, you know, whether you want people to be able to turn their front yards into parking lots, or whether you require certain heights of shade trees, or certain types of front yardscapes. And I just think driving this all to square footage of a house, I think we have a two and a half story. That's a nice house. I think what we should be focusing on, in my opinion, what I would like to see, is to get away from this overlay where somebody can develop 100,000 square feet into townhomes. And to maybe not allow, I think the overlay is the scariest thing the North End has going for it. I think also if you go to a 25-foot backyard setback, you're going to grossly depreciate the property values because that now our community is going to be based on their sister property values in Rehoboth and Dewey, who all have 10 or 8 or 7. And where those properties are $1 million, ours are going to be 5 or 6 because we have so much more limited space where you're going to build. I think it's better to concentrate on the aesthetics of the community and some reasonable-sized house. Versus should it be 42, 43, 48, 50, but I think the overlay district is the riskiest, scariest thing for the North End.
Okay, and Mike had one final show of hands.
Okay, before, so I just wanted to get this. A resident of Dewey Beach asked me to bring this here, Ellen Dana, and basically it's a letter where she's sending to the Planning Commission thanking us for living here, but she would like us to take whatever steps necessary to preserve and protect the character of the NR district.
Okay.
David, I just make one comment. Part of the address that my name is Mark Applebaum, the town manager, to a question that you had earlier. We have a commissioner, David Chizitsky, here, and he mentioned at a meeting, maybe a town council meeting a couple months ago, that we should look into the North End as there's changes being made based on the land leases beginning to expire in the not too distant future. So that's how it got referred to planning and zoning. I was at a meeting last month with planning and zoning. I think 3 or 4 people showed up. So I wrote a letter to the citizens of North End encouraging them to get involved. So that's I guess why some of you all are here. What the process is planning and zoning will get that feedback from citizens. And then they will be making their recommendations to the commissioners based on your feedback, based on continued feedback. Don't know what the timing is, the planning commission will determine that. And then it'll go to the commissioners who will, in public meetings, review the recommendations of planning and zoning. So it'll be another opportunity to provide feedback, et cetera, at that level. And then they will decide whatever they decide. But that's where the process will be. I think it's good that you all are here, And I think it's good to get your neighbors involved and conduit for conversations so that we have a real good picture of what the community wants as we develop our plan. And that is, so that's why I think most of you are here.
Thank you
for having us. And I think it's constructive. It was last week, or last month, we had a meeting, and I know Commissioner Kaczynski was there, and I think there was about 5 people in attendance. And I wanted to make sure that you all are aware that discussions are being had, and we want your feedback.
And two more points. About half the people in the room are obviously interested, or you wouldn't have taken your time out on a beautiful day to come out here and sit inside the conference room. For those of you who didn't, or maybe aren't comfortable speaking up, I really would encourage you, if you have an opinion, to email it to David King so that your input is gathered too, because that's really the whole purpose of it.
And lastly, any letters that I get based on the letters I sent out, we'll post it on the council website so there can be a community that is able to read what some of the comments are, stimulate thought and ideas. So, and for those who can't attend because they're not in town, they have a mechanism for that. I put my point contact on the letter as well, so feel free to call me to the degree that I can walk you through any questions you have. But this is really a planning and zoning issue and a commissioner's job. Not directly involved in the process, only to help facilitate.
So I'm going to bring this section to a close. And I realize that, please, before you all leave, I'll ask you if you haven't signed a sign-up sheet to, please do so. That helps us communicate. I'm going to create minutes from this meeting, draft minutes, and they will be posted on the town's website, on the calendar of events, under both this meeting date and our next meeting date, which is the second Saturday of July. And so if you want to see a synopsis of the discussion, at least it's there. If you have comments that you want to make, suggestions, recommendations, send a copy to the town manager and to me. And my email is king.dewybeach@verizon.net. And those will be shared with the rest of the planning commission, the town commissioners, and we're going to find a way to aggregate those all